Thank you, praise team, Jonathan and Tammy and Elder Frank. Good morning. Welcome to Life Creek. My name is Young. And as Elder Frank said, I left on Friday, and I've never driven 12 hours straight a day, but I made it and got here about 7:30 to Elder Frank's house. And I'm actually staying with him at his house, and I think his son's Michael's room, former room. And, you know, it's been, Elder Frank's been, and family's been great, Aaron and his wife been just really been gracious, and so thank you. Let me pray for us, okay? Let me pray for us, and then we'll start, okay? If you could join me in prayer and ask for God's help. Father in heaven, I did not come with eloquent words or words of wisdom, but a demonstration of your Spirit's power. And so we ask for your help. I pray that you will not leave us to ourselves, but you will do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine according to the power that is at work within us. The very power of your Spirit, the very Spirit of Christ that you have sent to the church and in our hearts dwelling. Help us now. Open. We have read your word. Now I pray that you would open it with power and speak to our hearts, so that, as we have done already in singing and worshiping, but we'll continue to worship you, revel, passion in your truth and who you are, love and faithfulness. You're amazing, God. And so I pray for amazing things now, miraculous things that only you can do now through your word. So come and help us. I pray. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen. Well, before I begin, my wife, Tasia, and two kids, and actually she's pregnant with her third, 8 months, and so this transition been obviously a little bit stress for her, just because she's 8 months pregnant, okay? So, and all the transitions, please pray for our transition. All right, today's message is called Love and Faithfulness. In Genesis chapter 1, we read that God, as you know, made man in his image. It says, male and female, he created them. And in Genesis 2, it says that God looked at man and said, and Jonathan knows this, looked at man and said, it is not good for man to be alone. That's why he got married. It's not good to be for a man to be alone. And so he made Isha, woman, to be man's companion. Man and woman need each other on several levels. They need each other in the physical level. I mean, right, you need to be at least physically attracted somewhat, right, to each other. They need each other in a physical level, emotional level, and a social level. But our need for each other isn't enough, those three, to make relationships or marriage work. Let me say it one more time. The physical attraction, the emotional, and the social, though we need those in each other, that's not enough to make any relationship work or marriages work. Jonathan, you should know that. I would have said that if I were at your wedding and preaching, but I wasn't there. Yeah, not that I didn't want to be there. I wanted to be there. I was congratulating you in Ithaca, okay? And I did. I was I think texting or calling other friends, please congratulate Jonathan and his new bride in a wedding. Anyway, sorry. God showed us what it takes to make close relationships work. And we see that in Psalm 86, verse 15. It says, as Tammy already read, "But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." Love and faithfulness. Love and faithfulness on God, on how God relates to his people in the Old Testament. We'll look at that. Love and faithfulness on how God, Jesus, the Son of God, relates to his people in the New Testament. And finally, love and faithfulness on how we should, at Life Creek Church, relate to each other in love and faithfulness. And I have a short application. And it might sound a little awkward in the beginning, but just indulge me, okay? And you'll see what I mean. Okay. And so we'll go through that. Love and faithfulness of how God dealt with the people of Israel in the Old Testament. Love and faithfulness of how Jesus, the Son of God, dealt with his people in the New Testament, and love and faithfulness and how we should relate to each other at Life Creek in a short application. God relates to his people with love and faithfulness. And he first showed us this kind of a relationship in how he dealt with the nation of Israel. And how he showed his love and faithfulness, as some of you already know, is he made a covenant. In Genesis 15, he made a covenant with Abraham and his descendants, the nation of Israel. And I don't have time to go into like what a covenant is and all that stuff and words, but a covenant that God made with Abraham basically in Genesis 15 is basically an agreement between two parties. And if you read Genesis 15, what God did with Abraham is that he said, bring a heifer. Heifer means like a cow. Heifer, a ram, and a goat, and a pigeon, and a dove. Dove, they didn't separate. Okay, so Abraham, bring me these animals. And then, anyone know what they did with the animal in Genesis 15 to make a covenant agreement? It's not a rhetorical question. Youth? No? What'd they do with it? Huh? What? Well, yeah. They cut it in halves, like that. Not like this, and then the text says each half was opposite from each other. So one half and the other half opposite. One half and the other half making a path between the pieces. And when God made a covenant, an agreement with Abraham, usual covenant is both parties will go through. And one party will stay on the opposite, you know, the lane, and they'll walk through it, and they will say, okay, I'll make a covenant with you. I will do this and this and this for you, and if I fail to do as I promised, you could do to me as you did to the animals, okay? So that's a pretty serious agreement. If I fail to do what as I promised, you could do to me, you could kill me. It could put me to death as we did to the animals, cut me in half. And if you know the story, Abraham he fell asleep. He didn't go through the pieces. Only God went through the pieces and made an agreement with Abraham, the nation of Israel. Love, and we really need to get this. Some of you guys are in love is not an emotion only. Love is a decision that you make with one another. And you've heard that, right? It's an action. You can't say you love your wife and say you're not going to take out the trash. Okay? You can't say you love your wife or husband and you're not going to play with your kids, take them time off, a day, half a day. Love is not just saying, honey, I'm going to sacrifice Saturday golf and hang out with the kids. Okay. It's deeper than that. I mean, you guys into fantasy football? Some of you guys, maybe you guys are. It's coming up soon. The drafts. It's not saying, honey, this year, I'm going to sacrifice. If those of you guys who play fantasy football, it's like hours of research, you know, and just, oh, it's just, honey, I'm going to sacrifice fantasy football this season, and I'm going to use that money, or I don't know if you guys, you know, and use it for something else. Elder Frank, I obviously only really spent time with him for a couple of days, but I've got to know him. It seems like we've been spending, you know, yeah. And, you know, just when you meet new people, you ask questions about their life and, you know, and I asked him, how'd you meet Kiwa? You know, and he was going on with that. And then, and he talked to me about his kids, just a demonstration of what I think love is. He grew up with, you know, a family of 14 kids, brothers and sisters. And when he got married to Kiwa, he didn't want kids. I mean, he was really against having kids. Hey. And basically, long story short, though he did not want kids, because his wife was in pain because she wanted kids. Just imagine, okay? Whatever level of not wanting or fear of not wanting kids, and when your wife wants kids, I mean, what do? You know? You don't want kids, but your spouse wants kids. And what Elder Frank was telling me is he sacrificed. He made a decision. So that he sacrificed what he wanted, what was comfortable for him, and not one son, Michael, two sons, Michael and Aaron. Love is not just an emotion. True love is a decision of sacrifice. Let go of what you want so that someone else would have. That's what God did with the nation of Israel. That's what Elder Frank did with his wife. Sacrifice of comforts of not having kids financially or whatever. God made a decision to the nation of Israel to give his all for his people. God gave himself, all of himself, to them. He provided for them the riches of heaven and the riches of earth as he led them through the wilderness, the desert, for 40 years into the promised land. And he showed his faithfulness by being their God through good and bad times. Always living among them, never forsaking them, even when they failed. He always received them back. Always. Back to this close husband and wife relationship. I will never leave you, Israel, nor forsake you. Some of you college students, maybe even you students, and you parents, you know, I meet a lot of college students when I was in Ithaca and Cornell University, and you know, the typical wish for parents, especially in an Ivy League, what do you think it is? That his daughter or son would be what? Go to med school, right? Well, this one student, his passion was not medicine, it was architecture. Now, if you guys know anything about architecture, Cornell actually has a fairly good program, one of the top in the nation. But I was kind of helping him with, you know, looking for jobs. And you know how much architectures with a five-year degree, it's a five-year program, you know how much they make? Just an entry-level architect? 5 years. You know, Cornell University is like, it's crazy. The tuition is like $55,000 plus, like room and board. And it was like $70,000, okay? Do you know after 5 years of architecture degree, do you know how much a student makes, the entry-level architects? He was making $33,000. It wasn't even like 1 year tuition, like twice that. Of course, his parents knew that, right? Knew that. Even your dream, your parents' dream of a lawyer or a doctor or whatever, and your kids comes home and says, Mom, Dad, I don't like medicine. You know, but the truth of the fact is, you like medicine. I like art. You know, and that was the compromise, I think, was architecture and art. You know, would you still accept your kid? Would you be faithful to your kid? I'll never forsake you, no matter what you do. I will never leave you. I will always accept you. And we see the same thing at work in the New Testament, don't we? Jesus Christ, our Savior, came in the flesh, gathered his people together to form the church, what we call the church, the body, and his bride. And he also, just like the God in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel, he showed, he demonstrated his love and faithfulness to his people. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down sacrifice, see? He laid down his life for us. In other words, Jesus gave his all, his life for his people, for you and for me. He gave his all to save us from sin and death, and he continues. This is amazing. That's what's amazing about the gospel. He not only gave his life, the ransom of many, you and me, he continues to give. Here's what Paul says about this, the continual giving. Romans chapter 8, verses 15 to 17. For you do not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of the adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. You know this verse? The Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are what? Children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Heirs with Christ. So not only Jesus gave his all for us. He continues to give. He gets all from his Father. All his riches and his inheritance is given to the Son. And the Son, in return, gives his inheritance, all of it, to you and me. We're heirs. Heirs with Christ. There's nothing more amazing than the riches of heaven given to you as an inheritance. It's amazing. Pastor Jess has been preaching through the gospel. I saw on the internet, you know, that's amazing. The gospel's amazing. It'd be crazy not to talk to. Just open your mouth, okay? Stumble, who cares? To talk to your coworkers. Not just bashing them, just tell them. It's amazing what you call good news.
Not only he gave his all, his life, he continues to give his entire inheritance that he has received from his Father to his own people, you and me. What love. Amazing, amazing grace. You could say amazing love. And he shows his faithfulness to us. In the end of Matthew, the Great Commission, right? I'll be with you. I'll be with you. The good and the bad. To the end of the age, I'll never forsake you. Never, ever. Never leave you, nor never will I forsake you. Love and faithfulness, New Testament, Jesus. And now, of course, the church, you and I, must relate to the Lord Jesus in the same way, don't we? We are to love how God? Remember the two greatest commandments? How are to relate to God, the church? How? Come on, youth group, you know this verse. How are you to love God? How? A little bit? All! With all your might, with all your strength, with all your heart and mind. And we are to be faithful to him alone. Alone! No other gods, no other things, no other idols. Not having any other gods before him, only he is God, and everything is second. Not just Sunday morning for one hour. All the time, till the end. And you think that's impossible. It is possible. That's what God sent his Spirit, the power of God, to your and my hearts. So the Spirit, the power of God will lead you. So you can. You can. He will never give you a command that you just kind of up there and you can't do it. You can. He gives you the resources. Okay? You just have to ask for it. You got to see it. It's like a child, okay, Daddy, Papa, I want to love you with all my heart. To the end, know the gods. What do you think the Father would say to you? No, son. No. Would you do that as a parent? If your 2-year-old said, Daddy, I want some broccoli. No, son, it's bad for you. You give bucket loads. That's how God feels. He wants to give his all to you. He wants to. He has all the resource in the world. Okay? He has all the $15 Target cards, you know? And he has a bucket loads of in the truck. He wants to dump it on you. He wants to lavish on you. Do you want that? God, I want to love you with all my heart. Love you and be faithful to you to the end. Help me. He will help you. He will help you. What's the time you got here? Sorry. When are we supposed to end? So as God has made clear to us in the ways he relates to his people in the Old Testament, love and faithfulness, through Jesus in the New Testament, love and faithfulness, and the church, to him, love and faithfulness. Not to speak to you, Life Creek, youth group, college, and up, singles, young adults, married couples with kids. Speak to myself. In these ways are what is needed to make not just a marriage work, but the church and our relationship at Life Creek work. That's the secret. Love and faithfulness. And you can't do it. You can. Because if you're a Christian, you have the Spirit living in you. And that's the application that it might look a little awkward, okay? And if you're sitting next to your spouse or your wife, or it might be a little easier, okay? And so it might be a little awkward, but I want you to like look at each other, okay? You don't have to be spouse. It could be just your family, right? Look at each other, okay, if you can, right? So look at each other. Can we do that? Look at each other, okay? It could be right next to you. Just one person right next to you, okay? One person, okay? Look at you in their eyes. Okay? I know it can be a little bit like funny and I don't want to look at you. But let's just look at each other, okay? Please, let's try that. Look at each other and say to each other, I will give my all to you. Okay? That's love. I, as a pastor of Life Creek, my desire is to give my all to you. Whatever the gifting I have, for your sake, okay? For your sake. Love, I will give my all to you. Brother, sister, wife, husband. And then look at each other again. Faithfulness. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Ready? I will never leave you, never forsake you. Okay, not everyone did it, but it's okay. You know, but you get the point. Okay, you get the point. That's what's going to take. Just like God did with his people in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel. Just like Jesus demonstrated love and faithfulness to his church and how we should relate to God, to Christ, love and faithfulness. That's must. Is that a maybe? We must do it. And if we do it, I mean, you know, a lot of non-Christians who will come, if you're a non-Christian, I welcome you here. That's what they know. They hear hypocrites. You say you claim to do this, but you're not doing it. You say you love each other, but you know what I mean? I want to see hatred. I think that's one of the best testimony of evangelism that our church could do. That they will see. They'll really see concretely. That we really care for each other. You know? Remember, love is not just an emotion. This is not what we just say. The decision that we make, commitment, we make covenant to each other. We sincerely care and love and be faithful to each other. I'll love you. I'll give my all to you. Just like you did with your husband and wife. And that kind of commitment has to be in this church to make it work, to be dynamic and powerful to the world. Amen? I hope everyone will say amen. And faithful to each other. I will never leave you, no matter what you do. Okay? I'll never forsake you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you never give to your people in your word that we can't do. Through your word and your spirit, and all the resources in heaven that we could ask, power and resources in heaven that we could ask, so that what you command is what we can do. Not solely by ourselves. We can't do anything by ourselves. It's because by your grace, by your love, and faithfulness to us, commitment to us. So we thank you. We have examples and examples of love and faithfulness in your word. And so help us, help this church, Life Creek, that all of us here that we might do that impossible thing. Because we serve a God who we believe that he does. For man is impossible. For God, everything is possible. You're a miracle worker. What mine can't do, yours so easy for you if we allow you to work in us, to receive, to bow, and to obey you. So Lord, help us, help this church, that we might do the impossible things that you have called us to do. And you be love, and you will love us and be faithful to us. That we might shine, really shine, as lights and salt in this world. Bright. And others might see and taste and see that you are good. That is our test, but you are good. This is what they need. So Lord, help us. Help this church. Not for our sake, but your glory and your kingdom's sake. That's why we're here. That you might increase, that we might decrease for your glory and your name's sake. What a glorious mission. That we may get all on board with that. Help us, I pray. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen. All right.